All right. Well, my name's Eric Loganville. For those of you that don't know me, I grew up here, so it's definitely great to be back and get to see everybody again. It's been a while, so I'm definitely excited to be back and get a chance to share God's word and really just kind of what he's talked to me about over the summer, just a lot of different things. And so I'm going to get right in. But one of the things I also enjoy outside of just preaching is I enjoy being a dad. And I know I'll probably say that a lot just because I really do. Like, I really enjoy it. And I think one of the things I enjoy most about it is that over time, just hearing my kids and some of the things they say and they come up with, like, I get to see a perspective that's from our Heavenly Father. I feel like I get to know him in a different way by being a father myself, being a dad. And anyway, so we had a time here not too long ago where we were just driving. I think we were running some errands or something. I don't know what we were doing. But we had seen these couple people that were going along the sidewalk, and they were kind of walking, and they had these really heavy vests on. And so my son Braden, he notices it, and he goes, he's got a curious mind for sure, and sometimes he doesn't always know what things are, but he asks, he's like, are those people in the FBI? And we go, no, they're just, you know, they've got those vests on because they're training, like, they're, when they're walking, like, they put weight on so that they can, you know, walk and prove their core strength and all that. So anyways, so then we were driving kind of around the same area a couple days later, and I was paying attention, and he was, I don't know what he was doing in the back seat, but he wasn't, you know, looking out the window as much. And so I had seen people again with the vest on. And so I go, hey, Braden, look, there's people in the FBI walking down the street. He's like, nuh-uh. He's like, you're making fun of me, Dad. And then what's even funnier is Bridget comes in. She's not even really part of the conversation. She tells Braden, she goes, Braden, I'm not going to make fun of you because I love you. And so just, you know, little things like that. And it got me to thinking about, like, my kids, because they are difference in age. They're about 8.5, 9 years apart. And so, I mean, you've had that experience having kids, or even being a sibling yourself. You typically get in fights with your kids and, you know, your siblings and all that. And so siblings tend to fight at times, but they also get along. And that's the thing, like, you know, my kids fight at times, but they also get along very well. And the reason why I bring that up is because today we're going to be talking about fighting the good fight. And if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to 2 Timothy 4. And it should be up on the screen. I think they have it. It'll be 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. And we're just going to focus on two verses today. But we'll be in some other places too. I'll jump around a little bit on some supporting text. But this is going to be our main passage, because this really, just kind of over this summer, this has been kind of a verse that's really stuck out to me and really spoken to me. And I think it's important for all of us to be reminded of some of the truths in this verse. And it just says here, it says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to those who have loved his appearing. And so I want to focus on this idea of fighting a good fight, or fight the right fight. And the reason why is because I had some things that happened this summer that I think God was really preparing me to just really get stronger in my faith and stronger in some other areas. And one of those other areas was actually my physical fitness. And so the reason why I say that is because I'm a person that, you know, I try to take care of myself and try to work out, but also know, you know, life gets busy, life gets in the way. And so I was committed, but I wasn't as committed as I should be. Like, if I look back into, like, you know, my college days, different things like that, I was way more committed at that time than I was, you know, over the last few years. And so the Lord kind of gave me a wake-up challenge. He's like, I need you to start, you know, training physically more. And part of the reason why that was, this was probably about, like, April, May when he started really putting this on my heart, and it's because we had summer camp coming up. And so Cheyenne and I, we work with the youth at our church. And our kids, when it comes to summer camp, they are very, very competitive when it comes to the sports down there. There's a lot of different churches that come to this camp, and, you know, the youth will compete against each other. There's basketball, there's horseshoes, there's volleyball, there's all these different sports that, you know, the kids get to compete throughout the week. And these kids want to win, like, especially, and I know our group, like, they took it hard last year. They got second place in volleyball, and they were not happy. Like, they wanted to come back. They were determined to get first place, and that's part of it. They they also were upset because I wasn't able to go last year, and so they were trying to recruit me very hard for volleyball because they're like, you're tall, you're going to be able to dominate in volleyball, and we're going to win first place. So they were really focused, and I thought too, I'm like, well, if I'm going to be doing all these sports throughout the week, and you know, camp goes, you're up late, you're at night, you're up early in the morning, like it's a long day, so it's like, well, I probably better start getting prepared for that and doing some training for, you know, just being in top shape I can be for camp, because these kids are dependent on me. They're wanting me to, you know, fight for the team and, you know, get a victory for them. So that's one of the areas where I'm thinking when we're focused on our fight and our faith, that we should be spiritually ready but physically ready as well. Because I know one of the things that's come into my mind since I've started training more too is I want to be able to be in good shape whenever I'm much older, so I can still do God's work. You know, if you're in a situation where your health isn't very good, you kind of are limited on what you can do in God's work in that. So I think, you know, it's important to take care of our bodies, take care of our health. And we have some scripture that talks about that. If you go to 1 Timothy 4:8, it says that there's some profit in exercising, but there's godliness is profitable in all things. And so it's this idea that we should take care of ourselves, we should eat right, we should exercise, we should do all those things, sleep well, all those things. But godliness is our ultimate pursuit. And so, and if you see like things on social media, you see people that are all into fitness, and they're definitely like all in. Like you see people that are constantly working out, and that's not all bad, but where it does get to become a problem is they start to almost make health their God. And, you know, taking care of ourselves, that is not our God. If that's our end goal, like it's going to lead to, you know, emptiness. We're not going to be fully fulfilled. So it is important that we do that, but that scripture is talking about in 1 Timothy that God is above even health. And so health is a good thing. Health is a good tool to help us in our fight, for righteousness' sake, to help us in our spiritual walk. But God is ultimately number one. And with that, the programs I'm doing, it's called Lift 4. And it got me really thinking, because when you think about these health things, like, sometimes it can just be like, well, I'm just doing this for myself. But really, like, I know for me as a dad, like, I got this mindset of like, well, I'm not just lifting for me, like, I'm lifting for my family, because as a dad, I'm kind of the provider in that area, and I'm supposed to be strong for my kids, strong for my wife and my family and just people around me. So I'm not just doing this whenever I go to train, when I wake up early in the morning, I'm not doing it just for myself. I'm doing it to benefit other people as well. Whether it be my family or you know, my coworkers or people, and so I can ultimately be there for the Lord and be able to continue to do His kingdom work. So that's really important. I think that we're making sure that when we're talking about this good fight, you know, it also says in there finishing the race. So we think of that as a physical thing as well. And it's important that we have the stamina, we have the endurance physically, but also spiritually, to be able to finish the race that God's called us to do. So that was the first part of my summer where I was just really challenged in that area of being sharp in my health, making sure that, you know, I'm on track there, because we want to be able to finish the race. We want to be able to have the long endurance that God calls us to be able to do, to finish what He's given us to do on this earth. There's another scripture that comes to mind in Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart, for out of it comes the wellspring of life. So everything you do flows from your heart. So when you think of health, it does center around your heart. It's important that we keep our hearts healthy physically, but also spiritually. You know, so it's about, you know, what are you taking in, you know, throughout the day, whether it be nutrition, food-wise, or even just, you know, what you're watching on television or what you're listening to. Like, those things are all important, you know, because you got to make sure you're guarding your heart, because if things that are not of God are getting in there, then it's going to eventually corrupt you, and you're not going to go down the right path if you keep letting those things in there. So it's important that we guard our hearts very much so. So that's the first kind of area, like I said. The second one gets a little bit deeper for me, and I'll share a story kind of what happened here. So As I was going through the summer, you know, everything, well, kind of beginning, this is back in May, and, you know, things were just kind of going along. We were, you know, doing our thing, our family was doing well, all that, and so then I, you know, I'm at work and everything, and I get I'm normal Friday morning, go into the office, doing my thing, and one of the guys comes in to my office, and he says, "Hey, can I meet with you for a few minutes?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure," you know, and I just, and this is something that happened normally on a routine basis. You know, he'd pull me aside and say, "Hey, we're just, you know, going to meet about a project or whatever. We need to tweak this on this project, do something a little different." And, you know, just kind of go from there, just kind of communicating. So, you know, that's what I went in. I thought that's what was going to happen, just a typical meeting. Well, that didn't happen. You know, they came in, pulled me aside and said, "Hey, the company's announcing that we're doing a bunch of layoffs, and unfortunately you're one of the people we have to let go." And that was very hard. I've been with the company for almost 5 years, and we had some really good people let go, some friends of mine that I still keep in touch with. They were let go also, and you know, it was a really tough kind of circumstance. But one of the things I knew in the midst of that, though, is thankfully, because the spiritual walk that I have, like, I was trusting the Lord, even though it was a hard situation. You know, I let my wife know, and also got our kids together and kind of had a family meeting about what was things are going to look like, which we didn't know. It was a very unknown future all of a sudden. It's like just the, you know, it's like the floor just came out from underneath you. And so definitely sudden news, came out of left field, was not expecting it in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, I just told my family, I said, you know, we're going to trust in the Lord. We don't know what the future holds, but, you know, and telling the kids, like, you know, we're going to transition, work from home for a little bit, and then we're going to figure out, you know, what the next step is. So, the reason why I bring all that up is because it's important to know that God is our provider. And so, one of the things that I kept hearing over and over and over through that whole situation whenever the job loss happened is that whatever job you have, whatever source you have for bringing income for your family, that is just a source. God is the That is just a resource. God is the ultimate source. God is the one that is the source of everything for us, whether it's a job or you know, just different things we, you know, get income from. Like I said, those are all resources. God is the ultimate source, and there's some scripture that reminds us of that as well. Deuteronomy 8:18. Says that, "Remember the Lord your God, for he is the one that gives you the ability to make wealth." So when you're reminded of that, it's like, the only reason I can even do this is because of God. Now, you know, I think when it comes to wealth, especially with the country we live in, it's very easy to, we can make wealth a god above God. And we shouldn't. And I know that God can definitely, when you're in that situation, if you are starting to make wealth as above him, he will definitely do something to put it in a place. And now when it comes to the whole job situation, for me, I know that wasn't, God wasn't telling me that was the situation, that I was like putting wealth above him. And that's why he took that away from me. I knew that wasn't the case at all. Actually, one of the things that came to mind right away is we had a dilemma with where I was at currently, because I was talking about camp earlier. And so I wasn't able to go to camp the past year because of work. And so this year I really wanted to go. My whole youth really wanted me to go. My son wanted me to go. All, you know, everybody was wanting me to go, and I really wanted to go. The problem is with the current job I was in, we had a major transition that was happening in software. And their launch date was the exact same day as camp was going to start. And I'm sitting here thinking, how am I going to figure this out? How am I going to be able to, you know, how do I tell, you know, the people I work for, hey, I can't be there for the launch of this new software because I got to be at camp? Like, it was a hard situation to be in. I wasn't sure how to best navigate it, because I knew that I was, you know, I was a big part of working on that software launch before it happened. And so I'm like, how am I supposed to tell them, how am I supposed to figure out this whole situation? Well, God just solved the problem for me. He's like, well, you're released from this assignment now. You don't even have to worry about that. You have you don't have to report to a job Monday morning on the day of camp. So it's like, you're free now. You can go to camp. So that's the thing. He solved that problem for me. And it's just interesting how God works in that way, where it's like, you know, we don't always see a way. And sometimes we see something even we think bad happens, but God can use it for good. And so he did that for me. And that, I thought that was really good. The other thing with that is, and when it comes to the wealth side of it, God is so amazing. He provided. He got me a new job. I've been working there now for a couple months, and it's just been awesome. People there are great. I'm still doing the same thing. I'm still in the accounting side of things. So I work with finances. That's what I've done for a long time, and it's part of who I am. It's just a small part of me being able to make a difference in an organization. I use, you know, all those accounting tools because I want to make sure that, you know, what God has given us is being stewarded right and used for his kingdom to further it. So, you know, if I can just be a small part in that, I think that's, you know, how God has positioned me. And so kind of what I challenge for and encouragement for everyone here too with that is just making sure that you're constantly trying to honor God with that. And it's not even just wealth. That's the thing is wealth is, when it comes to wealth, we talk about, the first thing we think about is money. But that's not, wealth is so much more than that. There could be a wealth of knowledge. Like Pastor Jerry was talking about earlier, you know, how do you soak in God's word? You read it, you can listen to a podcast, you can, you know, hear other people speak. There's all different ways to be able to bring in, you know, knowledge. And that's how we're able to grow and learn more all the time about God. You know, seek after wisdom. I think that's really important that we're making sure we seek after his wisdom. And as we, you know, grow in our wealth, not just, you know, materially, but in knowledge, we can use that to feed into other people. We can give God glory by sharing what he's taught us, and it will help to hopefully teach others. This is talking about discipling others. That's how we disciple, is we got to know God's word. If we don't know it, we can't disciple other people very well. So it's very important that we're getting in his word on a consistent basis and making sure that we're learning it so that we can pass that on others. And that's part of fighting the good fight. That's part of how we're able to fight, is we are able to build up knowledge, build up, you know, wisdom from the Lord, so that we know how to stand when the enemy comes and attacks us. Like, you know, when a situation happens, we can use scripture. Satan's going to come at you and he's going to tell you something that's going to be a lie. But if you know scripture and you know it in your mind really well, you're able to fire right back at him and say, well, this is what God says. This is not true what Satan's trying to tell you. This is what God says. This is the truth right here. And that's how you can win that battle in your mind. I think that's just really important to be on guard and to know that, to know his word consistently, having a wealth of knowledge in his word. So with that said, there's a third part that I want to talk about in this area, and it has to do with really just, you know, your words, your mouth. Like, that's where I was thinking about these two. So we talked about the health side with your heart. You got the mind side with your wealth and knowledge and knowing that. And I see those as like two big boxing gloves that God has given us to be able to fight, help fight the good fight. But James talks about the mouth being the tongue, that there's power in the tongue, life and death. It's like a fire. And I think for me, in an area that was a wake-up call, was also just the idea of prayer and using our mouth to speak in prayer. And one of those things that I guess woke me up really is like I see what's going on, and I try to take in different things that are happening in our world and the news and all that. I don't take that too much because like we said, I think there's a side where we need to be informed and be, you know, aware of what's going on. But if we're too focused on the news cycle, we can definitely get down and depressed. And if we're not spending more time in God's word than we are in the newspaper, then it's going to be, you know, that's where we're going to start to fall. So we got to make sure that we're spending more time in God's word than in the news. But it is important to pay attention. And one of the things that happened this summer too, you know, I'm sure everybody knows about it, is the fires in Hawaii. And it's very devastating what happened there. And there's people that are suffering. They've lost their homes, lost their lives, just a lot of things. But I felt like it was a kind of just a prophetic warning that God gave to me about where we're at and what we need to do. And I think it's important that we seek after him more in prayer, more than ever. And that's what we should do. Kind of like going back to what I was saying about the working out and being physical. Like, I have this goal of being, I hope I'm in better shape. Like, I'm 35. So I hope that I'm in better shape at 45 than I am at 35. Like, I just want to continue to grow in that area. And I would say the same thing for us spiritually. I think it's important that we grow in our prayer life, that we should be more in prayer now than we have been for, you know, if however long you've been walking with God. If it's been, you know, if you came to Christ 10 years ago, hopefully you have a better prayer life now than you did 10 years ago. There should always be constant growth in those areas. And so I think that's really important that we continue to grow spiritually in that area. And so that's where he kind of woke me up and was saying, you know, you're not praying enough for your country. You're not praying enough for people that are suffering. You're not praying enough for that. And it just kind of hit me like this, you know, with it being a fire, there's some scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'll kind of just paraphrase it, but basically what it says, it's verses 9 through 15, is, so Christ is saying he's the foundation of all life. He's that rock. He's that firm foundation. And then our life is basically going to be tested by fire. Our works, everything we do, when we are done with life, it's going to be, we're going to be held accountable with what we've done. And our works are going to be tested by fire. And will our works stand up? Now, don't get confused with that, because our works do not get us into heaven. That's the thing. We could do so many great works. We could be the next Mother Teresa. But if Christ is not our salvation, we will not make it to heaven. So it's not about our works per se, that's not what saves us. But because Christ has saved us, that's where we can do works for him. So it's important that we're showing fruit. It's important that when we are in Christ, that we are doing good works. I mean, that's what Scripture calls us to do. It says we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we are called to do good things. But those works don't save us. But they will be tested. And so I think that's important to make sure that, you know, we are keeping that mindset of, you know, the end goal, the, you know, eternity, that things are going to be tested. And that's where our nation is being tested right now. And, you know, the question is, are we going to be on fire for the things of the world, or are we going to be on fire for the things of God? And so I know we were even talking about that in the Sunday school class this morning about, you know, just this fervor. And, you know, we should be excited. We should be passionate about what God is doing and be on fire for him, because you see all these other, you know, groups and people that, you know, they're more on fire for the cause sometimes than we are as Christians for Christ. And so I think that's important that we make sure that we are on fire for him, just in all areas, you know, spiritually, physically, with our finances, with our time, with our, you know, with our mind, with our knowledge, with our family, with all these different things. I think it's important, very important, and making sure that we know where we stand. Because I know I had this quote here too that comes to, in our church we've been talking a lot about persecution the last few weeks, and it just seems like it's this theme that's popping up, and it's like, you know, I think we're gonna see more persecution. I don't know what that looks like. I mean, hopefully it doesn't get to the point of death, but it might. You never know. But we have to be ready for all those things. And no matter what this world throws at me, one of the statements that has come to my mind that I'm not gonna fall away on this conviction. Like, I'm sold on it, this idea that the world may be able to silence my voice, but they will never silence my soul. I will not let the world silence my soul. And that's the thing that, you know, one of the reasons why I brought up this text too is because if you read through 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4 particularly, what this whole thing is talking about is Paul is going through a lot here. He is seeing how he's talking about how in the last days the world's going to turn, or you know, people are going to turn away from sound doctrine. They're going to start, you know, hearing things they want to hear. Like they're going to, you know, be involved in all these different kinds of sins. He lists all different things, you know, idolatry, sexual immorality, all these different things that the world's going to fall into. And he's challenging these people to stand in their convictions, even though everybody else is turning away and doing these different things. And he even sees, you read on a little bit later, you see some of the people that he walked with that were once claimed to be followers of Christ. They denounce basically the faith and they turn away. They go a separate way. And Paul's basically almost like, it's like he's on his own. Like he has hardly anybody. He says, I think Luke is like the only one that's like left at that time, at least where he's at location wise. All the other people that were in that area with him have turned away. And so it's important for us that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what your friends are doing or what other people are doing, it's important that you stand firm in your faith. I know this is a theme we talk to our youth about all the time because it is such a deal in our society with social media, our schools, that these kids are so into social approval. And that, not that that's a bad thing, but it has become an idol. It's become something that's higher than God. And so many people will just follow the crowd because they are so desperate seeking that attention for that social approval. And we tell our kids constantly, like, we understand that's a battle. We understand that's a hard fight, but you got to stand up for God's word and stand up for what's right, even if that means that you are the one that is ostracized. You're not a part of the cool social group in school. Like, it is important that you have a solid, firm foundation to be able to stand for God and for his truth. And so we constantly are encouraging our kids and, you know, challenging that, because it is a hard fight. I think it's hard for even adults too at times. You know, you feel like you're isolated, you feel like you're alone, you're the only one that is standing for truth. But I encourage you to continue to stand for truth, for God's word. Because in the end, like we see in scripture, that, you know, your work will be tested, and God sees that. God sees when you stand for what's right, even if it's not the popular thing to do. And he may not reward you in this life, but I guarantee you in eternity, he will reward you for that. And so I was just having a conversation too with one of friends of mine, and this is more of a small thing, but I mean, it seems small, but it's big, at least in my mind it is we were talking about his kids. He's got some younger kids about, you know, 7, 8 years old, a couple kids that are 4, kind of in that area. And they're starting to get into a lot more sports for their kids, which is great. You know, we encourage it for sure. But one of the things that he ran into was there was a softball season starting to come up here around October or so. And they wanted to start their games at like 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. And he had been a part of kind of some stuff with that league as a dad. And he walked in that meeting and said, no, I can't do that. I could do some stuff on Sundays. I'm not against that, but we're not going to start. He's like, I'm not going to have my kids playing until late Sunday afternoon because I got church in the morning. And to me, that just speaks volumes. And I encourage him in that because it's important that we keep God as a priority and keep church as a priority. Don't let, you know, not to say that sports aren't bad, again, but do not let those things get in the way of what is of most priority. And spending time with the Lord, being in church with his fellow believers, those are some huge priorities. Those are priorities I know for me and my family we are not going to compromise on. And I hope that that's the same for all of you, that that's something that you've already decided, no matter what the world wants to do. It says we're not going that route. We're going to stand firm. We're going to view God and his church and his family as a priority. And so, you know, I just think that this message, I know sometimes it hits hard with just, you know, fighting a good fight. You know, it was funny. I heard some people talking to me saying, are you going to preach on peace this morning? It's like, nah, I'm kind of got, I feel like the Lord's telling me that we're ready for a fight, because we are. We're fighting against, you know, if you're reading Ephesians 6, we're not fighting against people. We're fighting against, you know, not against flesh and blood, but against
principalities, against powers of darkness. That's what we're fighting against. And we are in a fight. Whether you want to believe it or not, we are. And it's important that we are equipped and geared up for that. And I think that's why I brought this, because at least for me, this summer was kind of a, just in some different areas, God telling me, say, hey, like, you know, yeah, you're fighting good over here, but I need you to be stronger. I need you to be more equipped. I need you to be, you know, continuing to grow in these areas and become stronger so that you can continue to fight for the things that I care about. And, you know, that's where, going back to being a dad, that's, you know, I want my kids to be able to be strong, but I'm also going to fight for them too. And that's the thing. God is fighting for you. I don't know what battles you might be facing today, but God is fighting for you. I want you to know that truth, that He is fighting your battles. He cares. Because I know for me as a dad, like I had, you know, my son Brayden had a kind of a nightmare a little while back. And I know he kind of got scared. Like he was afraid that somebody was going to break into our house. And I said, I'm not going to let that happen. And I said, if by the chance, you know, it's like I got my house armed, like everything's good. We have security system. But I said, even if somebody were to try to do something like that, like I told him, I said, I am going to be standing between you and whatever, you know, if there was somebody who was actually trying to break in my house, like I'm going to stand between you and them. Like I'm not going to let them get to you. I'm going to fight for you. And that's what our Heavenly Father is doing too. Like He is fighting for us. He wants us to be able to stand firm in our faith and be able to, you know, be different than the rest of this world. Because that is how we are going to be able to make a difference in bringing people to Christ and winning souls. It's not going to be by that we're just going to kind of blend in with the world and be like the world. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, we should be friendly to people. We should be kind. We should love them. We should do all those things. We should interact with people that are not of our same faith. But we shouldn't be just like them. If we're going to church on Sunday, but then we live exactly like the world the other 6+ days, we're not making any difference. We're not being a true light in the darkness. We're just blending in with the rest of the culture. And so I think it's important that we are different and that we are willing to stand firm for our faith and be strong in that. And so I really hope that that was just kind of an encouragement, but also a challenge for you today as... you know, I just kind of wanted to share just what some of the things God's doing or has done for me in the summer and how He's prepared me. And hopefully it's something, you know, like I said, even if it's just one thing I said today that made a difference, then, you know, I know God fulfilled what He was supposed to do. If it was a word of encouragement or a word of challenge, because that's what it's about. When it's at the end of the day, the most important thing for our lives is winning souls, bringing people to Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. And whenever we get to heaven, He's going to test those works, like I said. And if we've done what He's called us to do, He's going to be saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And I don't know about you, but that's something I definitely want to hear when my life is over, is well done, good and faithful servant, that I've done, you know, what God has called me to do. I've, you know, fought the good fight. I've ran the race. I've fulfilled my ministry, fulfilled what God has called me to do. So I want to encourage you to challenge that, and I'm going to pray, and then I think Pastor Jerry, you coming up? All right. Father God, we just want to praise You. We want to give You glory. We thank You for the fact that You love us so much, that You sent Your Son to us, that You've saved us from the sins of the world, that we don't have to, because we are in You, we don't have to live like the rest of the world. We know that when we live that way, it's not a fulfilling life, that we are left empty. And the only thing that truly fulfills us is our relationship with You. And so, God, we thank You that You are wanting to fulfill us. We thank You that You're wanting to fight for us. We thank You that You want to strengthen us in these different areas, that You want to encourage us, but challenge us as well to grow in the areas that you have for us to become stronger, because You have a purpose, You have a plan, You desire for all people to come to know You. You want to advance Your kingdom, Lord, because You love each and every person on this planet, and we're just so grateful that You have such a heart, that You have a Father's heart to be able to do that. And I just pray for I pray for Bethel Church, just thankful for the zeal they have and they'll continue to have, that they'll continue to grow in their mission of discipling one another and also bringing in new people, people that don't know you will be able to come to this place and be able to know you maybe for the first time and learn and just grow in your word and your wisdom. God, we just thank you for your love, for your spirit, and just how it continues to, how you continue to love us, even in areas where we fall short. Sometimes we don't always get it right. We don't always get it perfect. But we're thankful that you're there with us every step of the way. God, we give you praise and we give you glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.